And we are bloody live, mate. G'day. How the bloody hell are ya? Welcome to episode number 187 of the Average Man podcast. I am back in the ute, so I'll try not to make any real clunky noises. Just bear with me as I'm putting my laptop down. Because, you know, the kids and the wife are in the... That's a great start. Car's dinging at me. Kids and the wife are in the caravan right now, and I got nowhere to kick them out to because where I'm coming to you from right now is pretty bloody awesome, mate. I am, as I said, sitting in the ute, looking out. I'm 2 meters from the edge, looking out over the Bunda Cliffs along the Great Australian Bight, which is pretty bloody awesome, man. It's like a currently we're about 130 k's east of the West and South Australia border. We've pulled up here. Literally, the van is, I don't know, 10 metres maximum from the cliff. And we're camping here tonight. And I didn't even realise this was like a big thing. Like, I knew there was the Great Australian Bight here and you can come and have a look. I didn't know you could camp right on the edge of it like this, man. And it is impressive, dude. It's really, really impressive. If you're doing the Nullarbor, plan it in. Come and, like, visit here. Sure, I say stay here. I'm going to have a fire out here tonight looking over the edge. If you've been following the YouTube stuff or the pod, you know, like the Instagram stuff, you'd probably know I've had some super serious, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but I've had some serious drone and GoPro dramas lately, which is kind of frustrating me. I need to really spend a bit of time and sort all the batteries and the SD cards and everything out. I had a gimbal that was playing up on the drone, and now I've got batteries that have exploded from the GoPro. One of them's still working currently, and I've got SD cards that keep malfunctioning, and I need to get to a decent town, and restock new batteries, new SD cards, and really just make sure all my gear's working, because I go to film things, you know, spare of the moment, get it out and do and film something, and the bloody, you know, my gear's not working. Super frustrating. But I'm here in the car, looking over the Bunda Cliffs, man. It's absolutely awesome. If you're wondering what it looks like, go to my Instagram page. I've got photos up there. Go and look at the YouTube video when it comes out. When will it be? I'm crossing the Nullarbor now. It'll be next week. Sometime next week I'll post that, and there'll be some good drone footage on there as well. So go check it out, man. It's super impressive. Now, I missed last week's episode. We were busy on the Sunday. We're out doing a beach day during the day. And, you know, I would have had an opportunity to do it on probably Monday, but I was really just lacking the motivation. We were quite busy, like had the kids with us the whole time. We were trying to keep them entertained, and I was sorting things out with the car and the fridge and the canopy, which I'll get to later. So I did have things that were really chewing into my, you know, mental capacity, as well as other things I've got going on in the background. And it was all a little bit too much for me. I was a bit overwhelmed. I was a bit sort of flat, lacking in energy, lacking in motivation, feeling kind of down. And I didn't make it happen last week. Look, the podcast is definitely still a work in progress. The last episode I did, which was obviously 2 weeks ago now, when we just left Albany, it felt really hollow to me. I felt like I'd gone away from going too deep on certain subjects because I didn't want to ostracize people or scare people off with the rants. And instead I went down like a travel blog pathway, and it just felt really uninspired to me after our time in Albany. And left the podcast feeling flat. And I feel like I just need to stay true to the inception of this podcast, which is to just talk about what's on my mind, talk about my feelings, talk about what's important to me and what matters to me, what I'm passionate about. And if that's something that sends me on a rant, well, so be it, you know. At least it's honest and it's raw. As I said, it is a work in progress. I have a few things going on in the background, and I'm trying to juggle them all and come up with a new routine, a new schedule, and learn new skills. And, you know, I need to be aware of not putting this podcast on the back burner. Because this is my main focus, this is my main love. This is the thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to take this podcast on the road and be inspired as I travel around Australia and, you know, convey that to you listeners through the podcast. So I need to make sure I stay on top of that goal and really just talk about what's on my mind, you know. So you're going to see me return back to that raw, whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm thinking, honest, authentic. Yeah, not that I wasn't being honest and authentic, but I was kind of trying to do something that I thought I needed to do, do a travel blog, you know, like talk about the places I went. And I will still do that, but only if it interests me. There's other things I may feel like talking about, and it's not, you know, I don't need to do reviews of caravan parks and make sure I'm keeping everybody up to date. Look, the YouTube channel's going to do that. The Instagram page does that, place by place, as I go, you know. People can DM me and ask me things, and again, if it's interesting, I will talk about it on here, but I need to just get a little bit more unplanned and just raw and just talk about what I'm feeling. So that's what I'm going to go back to now. I will do a bit of a review of the week. Having said that, I've had a good, it's been 2 weeks now, I've had a good couple of weeks. We left Albany, went straight to Bremer Bay, enjoyed Bremer Bay. It was really nice, cute little town, cute little caravan park. We spent, you know, 3 or 4 days there, did a bit of fishing, got some good footage of some dolphins swimming on the beach there. Then, which is in the latest YouTube vid that's up now. Then we went from there to Hopetown, which we thought was going to be really nice because we know people that are from there and they talked it up. And to be quite honest with you, it was a shithole. The caravan park was just a complete barren dust bowl. The town, there wasn't much there. The beach was all right, but there was nothing special. We drove 45 minutes away down the road to go to Starvation Bay instead. The people were nice and friendly, which was good. A change after Albany, places full of cunts. Old cunts. It's like an old dying town. So Albany can suck my nuts. We'll never be back there unless I have to. I may stop in for fuel, or if, you know, a drama forced me to pull in there for some reason. It's the only reason I go back to that place. Fuck you, Albany. But yeah, so Hopetown was not great. It was kind of shit. But, you know, we did it. And we went from there to Esperance, which, you know, we only got 3 days good weather there, which was enough. We were out and about and active and, you know, we went to the National Park and went down and drove on the flat beach and got some good drone footage, again, in the YouTube video that's up now. You know, we were outside living it and enjoying it and really was impressed by the beach and the coastline and everything there. And then, you know, that was sort of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then Monday it was pissing down, well, not pissing down, but it was raining, drizzling all day and cold. Tuesday was cold. Wednesday was kind of windy and cold. We left Thursday morning. So it was kind of, you know, we got a few good days and it was really nice there and good to see. So we had some friends who were there and the kids had friends, had a sleepover with some friends who lived there and stuff, which was cool. So we enjoyed our time in Esperance. But, you know, part of it was sort of having fun. The other part of it was just sorting shit out, which, again, I will get to soon. I got some weird feedback coming from my mic. I guess I can get into it now. So, since we got the remap done on the Ford just before I left Perth, every time I tow, it was throwing up an error code. And then it was making me pull over because I had no gear and, you know, I just wasn't driving. I had to pull over, turn the car off, turn the car back on, and we'll drive again. And then I had to really make sure I was keeping it in fourth gear, not letting it drop down into fifth, because if it went to, like, low revs and high torque, it would throw up this error code and pop out of gear. Which was really frustrating. So we had to get it remapped again and remotely. And the guys who did the job for us, PPD Performance, had to send a remapping tool, remote remapping tool, via the mail to Esperance to meet us there. So we did that and picked it up when I was going to Esperance, and then, like, it wouldn't speak to the ECU. There was dramas with the tool. Had to take it to a local mechanic who they have on their kind of payroll down there in Esperance, who works in with them, and he did the remap for us and got that sorted. And so far across the Nullarbor, we have not had a drama since. So it seems as though that problem is fixed, which is really nice. The other drama was some douchebag, me, decided to defrost the freezer in situ, the freezer in the canopy upright fridge, that is. I got a Bushman 130-litre freezer in there, like a $1,600 freezer, no biggie. Just instead of pulling it out and pulling all the crap out of it and defrosting it by turning it off and letting it sit there and melt out, I decided I'd get a sharp chisel in there and knock the big chunks of ice out of the freezer, which is also the evaporator, which is where the gas lines run through. And you guessed it, this dickhead pierced one of the gas lines, dropped all the refrigerant and fucking cooked our fridge. So I was on the phone to Bushman, seeing what we can do about it, get a replacement part sent out. You know, they weren't going to get it to Esperance in a timely manner because of, you know, it's got to go from Melbourne to Perth, Perth to Esperance. So that they told me they had a, you know, a licensed repairer in Ceduna, which is the first town on the South Australian side of the border. So we've got the part ordered to Ceduna, and I'm going to put the car on for a little bit. I hope it's not too loud now. I need the aircon going. I'm starting to cook in here. So the guy is going to sort it for us in Ceduna when we get there on Monday. Hopefully he's got the part there already. I know he's ordered it. So that's at least getting sorted. But that's what happened there, man. It was a bit of a cock-up. It was my fault. And, you know, it just meant we had to spend a bit more time on Esperance and get something sorted out. So as I mentioned, we are on the Nullarbor now. I'm on the Bunda Plains and we'll be in Ceduna tomorrow. We'll pump through the last, whatever, 300, 350 Ks tomorrow and get to Ceduna. So we're in South Australia, man. All unknown territory. Very, very exciting. It was quite exciting going over that border. It's just like a real checkpoint for us on the trip. We're out of WA. Finally out of WA. You know, we spent so fucking long there. We left Port Hedland in December and, you know, we're just getting into South Australia now at the end of April. So definitely ready for a change and ready for some new ground, which is pretty cool. What else happened during the week was last week now, through the fortnight I should say, was I watched UFC 300, which was a big deal. The 100 was a big deal, 200 was a big deal, and 300 was a big flagship event for them. And a lot of people were whinging about the lineup. It's not as big as it should be. It's not this, it's not that. It could have been blah, 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 fucking blah. End of the day, it was phenomenal. It was fucking phenomenal. The light heavyweight fight, which was the main event, between Alex Pereira and Jamal Hill. Jamal Hill was the champ, blew out his Achilles, had to relinquish the belt. Alex came in, fought for the vacant belt, won it. He's the guy that was a middleweight champ as well, knocked Israel Adesanya out. He came and won that belt, then defended it. I think he defended it once already, maybe not, but he defended it at US 300 against the guy who was champ before him anyway, knocked old mate out, knocked him out cold in the second round, I think. Well, it might have been the first round. He knocked him out too easy. So that was really exciting. There was the strawweight, I guess it is, female fight, the Chinese chicks going at it. That was a good scrap. The Jiří Prochazka fight was great. He's another light heavyweight, also was a champion, had to relinquish the belt and then came back and lost his comeback fight against Alex Pereira. So, you know, it was good. good fight. Good card. And also on there was the BMF belt. So they do this thing called the Bad Motherfucker belt. It's not for a real championship, for the BMF belt. They started it with Masvidal versus Nate Diaz a few years back. Nate won that belt. Then he didn't defend it. They then had a fight against Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier for the BMF belt. Gaethje head kick knocked out Poirier and got that belt. That was a rematch between those two cats. Dustin won the first one. Gaethje won the second one by a head kick knockout, got the BMF belt, and then he defended that against everyone's favourite fighter, Max Holloway, who's a featherweight coming up to light heavyweight, who fought for the BMF belt on the UFC 300. And personally, I couldn't see how he was going to be able to keep up with the lightweights. He's gone up to lightweight before for Poirier, who lost to Gaethje and kind of got owned. So you'd think, you know, MMA maths never works out, but you'd think if he couldn't compete against Poirier, Gaethje knocked Poirier out, he's not going to be able to compete against Gaethje. Well, he goes in there and pieces the fuck out of Gaethje for 5 rounds. It was, you know, pretty close the first round, and then, you know, I think it might have been in the first round or the second round, Max Holloway spin kicks Gaethje in the nose and busts his nose up, and then he's just damaged from then on. And then he's hitting him with body shots, these spin kicks. He completely busts him up over the five rounds, right? Completely busts him out. Looks amazing against the bigger guy, against Justin Gaethje, who's one of the best in the fucking sport. He's the BMF, right? And then last 10 seconds of the fight, completely dominated the whole fight. He goes, points to the center of the octagon and goes, like, let's throw down. Justin's never going to shy away from that. So they stand toe-to-toe and just start throwing down. And Holloway overhand rights him, I think it was, and just complete faceplant KOs Justin Gaethje in the last second or something of the fucking fight, man. It was amazing. I was screaming, trying not to wake the kids up, but it was so exciting. It was fucking awesome, man. Really, really exciting shit. So that was fucking great, man. You know, it's the best UFC I've seen in a long time. Got me really excited to see that. It cost me a fortune, you know. It's $60 or something. So it's a pretty big deal for me to do that now when we're traveling the country. I don't know. Now I don't have a job. So I've got to be able to justify these kind of spendings. And that one was justified. So what else? Man, there's some weird dudes crossing Nullarbor. I'll tell you what, we saw two cats riding push bikes across the Nullarbor. It's so long. We're taking 4 days to drive across it. You know, in small chunks. You could do it in a day or two. But it's, you know, you do it in one big day or two decent days. It's a long ass drive, man. And guys, people riding their push bikes. They're obviously riding around the whole country. You know, they've got these super, you know, intense backpacks on and shit, and I'm just looking at them riding across the Nullarbor, and I just think, man, like, is that really what you wanted? That's exciting to you? You think that's a worthwhile challenge to spend your time and energy doing, is riding push bike around the fucking country? Like, your life must suck. That must suck. You must be so fucking bored of your shit fucking life that you think it's a good idea to ride a push bike across the Nullarbor, man. Across around Australia. Just, your life must suck, man. That's so boring. That is so boring. And then we've seen a dude pushing a trolley thing across the Nullarbor. He's walking. Dude, man, I don't know what goes on in these people's heads. They're out there. They're out there, man. I can't imagine you had a good life if you decided it was a good idea to walk across the fucking Nullarbor. Like, okay, I got other shit to do, man. I'm not walking across the fucking Nullarbor. That's what cars are for. At the least, that's what cars are for. What else, man? Tell you, we stayed in a real shithole in Esperance for the first couple of nights before we moved to the RSE camp at Caravan Park, which was really nice. There was filthy ablution blocks that stunk like shit, man. And, you know, it's bad enough that they already smell like shit and they were dirty and stuff like that. But I had an experience where I walked in there and I had to go to the toilet bad and there was only one toilet available and a guy had just walked off the toilet, flushed it, and he was washing his hands coming out. And I'm like, oh man, I need to go straight in there. Like, don't you just love when you have to use the toilet right after someone else? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You sit down and the seat's warm. Awesome. Awesome. The seat's warm from that other guy's ass 2 minutes ago. That guy I just made eye contact with, I'm now sitting on the seat that's warm from his ass sitting on here shitting 2 minutes before me. Fucking sucks, man. It fucking sucks. Yeah, man. I don't know. That's life on the road, you know what I mean? You got to use public toilets sometimes, and I could have used the caravan toilet, but then, you know, every time I shit in there, it's like a clock ticking until I got to go empty that thing again. So I really try not to shit in there as much as possible, unless it's in the middle of the night or early in the morning or something like that. Oh, we'll just go to the ablution blocks, man, and let the kids use that one instead. But, yeah. Yeah, man, it's been quite a busy week. I mentioned that earlier. You'd think I would have got nothing to do. I'm just traveling the country with my family. But I'm trying to write my blog weekly. I'm trying to head over to Substack to get Dave's blog. I'm trying to make content continually every single day. I'm trying to post once or twice. You know, got to think of content, got to film content, got to edit videos, got to do that and post all that. I am taking notes and writing stuff and then recording the podcast. That takes time as well. The YouTube, I'm filming stuff for the YouTube, so I'm always looking for an opportunity to film something, swapping between GoPro and drone, and then you need to edit that footage as well. So that takes time. And then I'm obviously doing homeschool with the kids, so that's the morning's gone. I work out early morning, so that's that time gone. And then, you know, I do all the cooking, so you got to cook lunch, breakfast, dinner. You know, so you're starting to windle down the hours you got left in the day. And, you know, on top of it all off, I've sort of decided to learn some new skills and created another stream of income for us while we're traveling around the country, starting from scratch in an industry I know nothing about. So that has kind of become my new obsession. I'm spending a lot of my mental energy on that. And to be honest, it actually kind of got to me a little bit. I was presented with an opportunity a few weeks back from somebody that I really respect. And, you know, it seems to answer a bunch of questions. I'm thinking, how am I going to create a new stream of revenue while traveling with a family to continue giving us, you know, location freedom and create some financial freedom for us as well. And this opportunity came along. I'm not going to go into it. It seemed a little bit like it was too good to be true, but also, like I said, came from a person I really respect and seemed like I could answer one of those questions. I went down the rabbit hole with it, did all the research, spoke to some people, got some advice, decided, you know, and again, I prayed on it as well. I believe that, you know, as I get older, I'm starting to really lean back on talking to the higher power, God, and asking for direction and help, and because I realise that I don't have all the answers, and if there really is a plan for me, I probably need to check in with the, you know, the guy that made that plan and see if I'm on the right track every now and then. And I slept on it and thought on it and, as I said, prayed on it and asked advice and did all the research on it and came up with the conclusion that it wasn't the right opportunity for me. But it also got my brain ticking and doing some research that then led me to find another opportunity, which is much more viable, realistic, long-term, just more legit, right? And it's going to take a lot more work to get up and off the ground, as things that are legit do, which makes sense. And, you know, it's going to take a whole new skill set that I need to learn from scratch. I'm doing some online courses. And, you know, as I said, being who I am, that's now something that I'm kind of obsessing over in my mind. Learning, doing all the online courses, starting to put some things in place as far as logos and shit like this. So I'm doing all this stuff in the background. It's taking a lot of my energy. And kind of was so many things coming from so many different directions. I kind of got down in a little bit of a depression while we were stuck there in Esperance. You know, I think it was confounded a little bit as well by some online negativity I was experiencing. You know, as I get more and more followers and I'm more and more active on social media, there's going to be dickheads, right? That's just the way the world works. There's going to be dickheads. So I put a video up the other day, which I'll get into a little bit later as well, but put a video up the other day that went viral. Not the one I wanted to go viral. I thought the one with the emu chasing and stomping the dog would have gone viral, but apparently that's not as interesting as, you know, a huge big field being driven down the road that took up fucking way too much room, which I'll get to again. But the video went viral anyway, right? And all these bush cockies started chiming in. And look, I'm going to go into the details of it later, but it was very negative, very, very negative. I had to limit the comments or stop comments on the videos on Instagram and Facebook because it's getting thousands and thousands, like 50,000 views or something on Facebook, and I don't know how many thousands on Instagram, thousands of likes and bunch of comments and just a lot of negativity coming through on it. So I had to can that because it was actually getting to me, which is funny. It's like, you know, you're not supposed to listen to trolls. You know, you're not supposed to engage with trolls. Because I haven't had many trolls and I'm really active on social media, I try and interact with all the people that listen and follow and comment and get involved. So it was like my instinct to try and get involved and you know, talk to these people. But it was a bad idea and I soon realised that and just muted the comments and blocked the fuckwits. But that contributed to me feeling pretty negative and down as well, man. And like I said, this confusion about my future, all these different thoughts and ideas, and then the one thing I know a thing I know that I need to move forward on is something in an industry that I have zero skills in. I have zero skills in and I need to learn everything from scratch. So all of a sudden you're kind of like the beginner, you're the lost, you're like the new guy, you're like starting out in an industry you know nothing about again. Which, when you're in building, is not that daunting, not when you're 20 especially, but not that daunting because you're working alongside people, you can talk to them, you can see what they're doing, you can work for a company. It's all very, like, the path is laid. When you're doing things online, it's very much like, am I in the right place? Am I talking to the right people? Are these people shizers? Are these people actually know what they're talking about? Are they actually going to get results? Are they just trying to sell me something? It's very fucking confusing. And it got kind of overwhelming, and, you know, it got to me a little bit, man. You know, and also haven't achieved anything in my life for a while, not since I left work. You know, I know we're doing, I know that when you take a big step back, which is what I've done, we are achieving something quite awesome, traveling the family, traveling the country with the family, homeschooling, staying fit, you know, doing all these things. But like physically, day to day, I feel like I haven't achieved anything, I haven't built anything, I haven't finished a job, I haven't handed something over, like what I'm so used to doing, you know, I haven't achieved something, I haven't made any fucking money. So that was kind of playing on my mind as well. But, you know, it's forced me to think about a lot of things. And I've known for the last few years, I've been so sure that I'm going to do something different with the next 10 years of my life. I was so sure of it that I've just leaped. I've leaped off the cliff. It's funny, I'm looking at cliffs right now. I've jumped off the cliff and I'm sort of waiting to make something happen, waiting for an opportunity to come along. And that's, I believe heavily in doing that, but it's scary when you do it, man. And then you're falling, your little legs are flickering around, and you're like, plummeting, and there's like no net, and there's no opportunity, there's nothing come yet. And I started feeling that. What's been good is that, as I said, I've learnt that I've got a direction I need to head in. I'm a complete newbie in it. It's got a lot of work for me to get to a point where I can start making money from doing what I'm going to do in a short period of time. But I'm bloody well going to do it. So I've got these changing values and changing expectations. A friend of mine recently said to me that a mentor told him a quote, the quality of your questions will determine the quality of your life. Ask bigger questions and see what comes to you. And that was really, really profound for me. I've always been a believer in the saying, you can never... you can't expect the extraordinary if you never do anything out of the ordinary, which is a similar sort of quote. But this one just had a little bit more detail to it. The quality of your questions will determine the quality of your life. Ask bigger questions and see what comes to you. So I'm asking bigger questions. I'm asking bigger questions, and the answer is profounding, you got work to do. Which, when it first hit me, and I realised how much work I had to do and how little I knew and all those sort of, like, the reality of a dream, if you know what I mean. Like, there's the dream, I'm going to make a change, I'm going to do things differently, I'm going to have time and location freedom, I'm going to live with my family, and I'm going to do fucking all these things. Yeah, very, very, very inspiring. And then when you realise, like, the only way to achieve that is to get your ass to work, like, now, it's, like, a bit daunting. But I've come to that, settled on my shoulders now, and I'm actually like, you know what? I understand working. I understand learning things. I understand learning a new skill. I understand putting your head down, asking questions, doing the work, and seeing the results come. It's not going to be any different in this industry. It's just going to be starting from scratch, which is not a bad thing, man. And I actually, while chatting to my wife the other day, came up with, through this new business plan and model, like a gateway where I can introduce my skills in building, my skills as a builder, into this forum as well. And I just popped out of my mouth when I was chatting to my wife, and I was like, wow, that's cool. That's a really nice twist on the original idea I'd come up with. You know, it's like, you know, layering it and falling back on skills I do already have. So that was a cool light bulb moment. So, man, I've got changing values, changing expectations. You know, last year was all about moving towards the dream and the freedom and the realization of this dream. And now the rubber has really hit the road and reality's popped its head up. You know, I don't want to be done in 12 months and back to work. So I need to make something happen this year. So I've got work to do, and that's where we're at now. Which means, you know, I'm busy again. But which is cool, man. I thought I needed a break. I thought I did need a break. I was at burnout. I was at capacity. I needed to step back and away from what I was doing. Now I've had a bit of breathing room from it. Now I've found some things that I'm excited about and interested in and passionate about. the break's over. I don't need a break anymore. Now I've got something to launch myself into that's for me, that's for my family, that I'm excited about. So I'm ready to fucking work. I'll still be traveling the country. You'll still see me in different locations. You'll still see me fucking working out shirtless down the beach. You'll still see me fucking popping reels up on Instagram and doing all that sort of shit, traveling around, having fun. But know that in the background, I'm fucking motherfuckers working. I'm working at night time. I'm working in any little break I get during the day. I'm working in my head. I'm working, which is a good feeling. I guess I'm born to work, built to work, but it's different work, you know. It's things that I can do in short periods of time and eventually hopefully generate larger sums of money, value for money rather than time and skills for money. Well, it's still skills, but rather than time, rather than exchanging my time for money, I want to exchange value and knowledge and skills for money. So pretty excited about that, man. Pretty excited. Yeah, I'll talk more about that later. I'm going to let things develop in the background a little bit and leave that as a bit of a, ooh, what's he talking about? A bit of a guessing game. Keep your motherfuckers on your toes. I'll talk more about it a bit later, like in another week. Not one more week, I mean another week down the track when I've developed things a little bit further. One thing I am not is a guy that talks shit. Not a guy that, I talk shit all the time, but deliberately, joking. I'm not someone that talks shit and pretends it's real. So I'm going to keep the details and to myself until I actually flesh them out a little bit. Put it that way. So, and it's funny because this way I'm looking at moving my life and then hopefully showing my kids how to do the same thing, taking my wife along with me, is like, I don't think we're meant to spend so much time away from our families. You know, we used to work to support them while living with them, first as hunter-gatherers and then as like farmers and, you know, family businesses. And then there's a whole thing that goes into this about, you know, early 19th century, cities started building up and people started moving into office jobs and, you know, going to a job away, factories, to a job away from the house, away from the family. Kids started getting raised by mum and school system more than by the whole family and by the dad and by the uncles and stuff. That's a whole different tangent. Now we leave, as men, we leave our families alone for long periods of time just to make money to pay for shit that we don't really need, shit that didn't even used to exist, and we just need to make so much more money to buy more shit, which is another thing. I've just started a book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and he goes into this whole thing that we do, that poor people do, is spend money, make more money, then spend more money because they're making more money, get further in debt, then they need to make more money to pay for the debt, then as they make more money, they increase their debt. It's just fucking crazy cycle. It's a trap that we're in, and they want us to stay in that trap because it keeps us working and it keeps us producing shit and it fucking keeps people where they want us in the system. So, you know, and things are so expensive that mum needs to go back to work now too, and baby is a baby, you know, when mum really should be at home looking after the kids and doing something that she enjoys doing for, you know, whatever period of time she decides to do it. Instead, she's going to go back to work fucking full time after like 6 or 9 months, you know, and chip in because fucking life's expensive. So someone else is raising our kids at school, at daycares, you know, and then when they grow up and don't share our value sets, we wonder why. So it's like, and then they, because of the schooling system, they're primed to be workers. They're primed to continue in the fucking system that we got scammed by. So I'm really trying to recondition my view of how to make money, what work means, what money is, what money means, how to use money, the relationship I have with money, how my kids react and the relationship they have with money. A huge, huge overhaul of a lot of my belief systems. Not my belief systems, more like built-in systems. I've always rebelled against these thoughts and had these other thoughts like there must be a better way. Why are we doing it this way? I wish I could live another life, you know, doing X, Y, Z. But it was all the theoretical dreams, just like fucking hoping I could do something better and something different. And now I'm actually starting to learn the mechanics behind that and how I can move in that fucking direction.
And there's a lot of fucking work, man.
There's a fucking lot of work, but for the long run and for my kids and for my time freedom and my location freedom, it's super important, man. And I really want to learn this stuff, and then I can help, you know, other men implement it in their lives as well, because I just don't think we're meant to be fucking working our lives away, spending hours and hours and hours and hours every single day away from our kids, flying in, flying out to jobs we fucking hate, to pay for shit we don't fucking need, increasing our debt as our fucking pay rise goes, as our income goes up, so then we, and then, you know, we can't get out of these jobs, we feel trapped, we have to continue making the same amount of money to cover our fucking monthly nut. It's a trap, you know, it's a fucking trap, and most of us are in it. So, yeah, I'm really on a journey now to break that cycle, not just make more money, not just save more money, not just get a higher paying job. No, 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 no. That's all working within the same system. I'm looking to work outside of it, like many people are doing. Smart people are doing it, and they're not magicians. They're just people who've learned some things and are implementing them in their lives. So I'm looking to implement those in my life and teach those to my kids as well, so we can have some fucking financial time and location freedom in our fucking lives. That's what's on my mind right now. That is what's on my motherfucking mind. That was a lot, hey. That was a lot to digest. But you guys asked for it, man. I mean, I suppose you didn't. I just said that I was sick of... I didn't feel inspired by my last podcast and the journey, direction it was going, so I was going to return back to the original goal, which was to speak my mind. So whether or not you ask for it, that's what you get. That's what you're going to get. Expect more of that shit coming up weekly, because that feels good to get off my chest and to put it into words like that, long form. You know, you can't sit here and rant to people about this sort of stuff in your day-to-day life. It's not pleasant for them, so you wouldn't have very many long-lasting conversations. People would be like, get the fuck away from this guy. But a podcast, I can do that. You motherfuckers will sit there in your car or at work or doing whatever the fuck it is you're doing right now, and you'll fucking listen to it and go, yeah, fuck yeah, I agree with Davo. So it's a good fucking platform for me to do this on. And then again, hopefully, you know, as I learn more about this sort of shit, I can inspire some other people to go, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm going to make some changes in my life fucking too. I'm going to fucking, you know, we can do this shit, you know, together as a generation. But, you know, I'll probably need to learn a little bit more first. One foot in front of the other. Look, man, some recent news and trends this week. I feel like there's been a lot of negativity in the news right now. As I said, there was on my social media feed, and as usual in the news, there is. But it's made it to my feed and my algorithm and stuff lately as well. And I don't want to have that. Don't want to take all that in. You know, there was some stabbings and shit in Australia recently. A baby got stabbed. A bunch of people. It was like a stabbing, fucking massacre. You know, like mass stabbing thing. You know, if there's things that are important to me and to our country and to our way of life, like the digital ID bill and other things around our economy and fucking what the politicians are doing and stuff like that, I'll still talk about on here, but a lot of it, I'm just going to leave it alone, man. I'm just going to leave it alone. There's a lot of negativity. One thing, it is a local news thing if you report Headlander. They believe they're planning to go ahead and drop those fads out off the shore for Port Hedland to increase the fishing opportunities there is going ahead. And for people who've heard about that, I think ABC did a little piece on it recently. People that heard about that, you may not know that that information was first divulged right here on this podcast by none other than my mate Robbie Peck, aka Bert Goes Bang, on Instagram. He's the guy that came up with the idea. He's the guy that contacted Wreckfish West and helped them source, brainstorm where they're going to put it, how they're going to go about it. Essentially, he got that whole ball rolling, got them into town and held a community meeting and shit like that. It was his proposal. He wrote a 12 or 14 page proposal that he put into the state government, to Wreckfish West and all this sort of stuff, and got that up and running, man. So fucking well done to fucking Robbie. And he got that. He's the, also the dude that was on here because he got fucking attacked by that shark a bit over a year ago. Bull shark in October, about a year and a half ago in Port Hedland. He's a man that knows the water very well and spent a lot of time there. And again, he's, you know, really the guy that got that ball rolling. So you can thank him for that, Port Hedlanders. And that was a bit of positive, fucking cool bit of news I recently learned. And just before I move off recent news and stuff like that, little tidbit my wife told me about these Bungler cliffs here, this Great Australian Bight. Bunda. Apparently, on the South Australian, on the West Australian side of the border, there's like hundreds and hundreds of cave systems, which makes sense, down in the ocean underneath these cliffs, right? Makes total sense, right? Not a lot of people know about them, but there's a couple of guys who've been exploring them for years and years and years, and apparently they're amazing and extensive, and they're all interconnected. And then the WA or the Australian government have gone ahead and said they want to put a bunch of solar powered, you know, like the solar windmills along the coastline 2.5 kilometres apart. And these guys are coming forth saying, you guys don't understand how much that's going to affect this cave system. It's like honeycomb underneath these cliffs. It's going to cave them in. It's going to do damage. It's going to do this, going to do that. And the Australian government's saying, oh, we don't really care. We're fucking consulting the traditional owners. And the traditional owners are going to make a decision, which means they're going to fucking throw money at them and they're probably going to say yes to it because they don't, you know, really even use that land. So that's pretty fucking shit. And it's just another example of our government destroying the environment to make it look like they're saving the environment. You got to keep your eye on these motherfuckers. I don't know the whole story. You should probably go check that one out on ABC News for yourself and get all the fucking details about it. But very interesting little tidbit. Makes sense that there's hundreds, if not thousands, of little caves along this fucking cliff. Very fucking cool. What's my fucking car beeping at me, man? Oh, it's going to turn off in a second. I hope it's not been too loud here with the car running, eh? I needed it, friggin' the aircon on. Right, before we get out of here, I'm going to come back to the field bin driving down the road section. This is my get the fuck out of here for the week, right? I mentioned that I took a video of this field bin, which is like, imagine that, you know, the Warner Brothers logo on the side of that big silo thing. It's like a big fucking, looks like a tank with a frame built around it up on stilts. You know, one of those things, imagine one of those, but like low to the ground. The frame's only like fucking super low to the ground, being towed behind a ute on a highway. Now I'm talking the frame is like a couple of inches from the road. It would have been scraping on the road over certain parts of the road. Is hanging 1.5 metres off the road onto the dirt patch on the left-hand side, and about a metre, at least a metre, into the oncoming traffic lane as well, right? Being towed by a ute. No brake lights, no indicators, no nothing on the back of the vehicle, right? You can see him from behind, obviously, but still. We drive around this guy. I took a little video of it from behind because it looked absolutely ridiculous. We're like, look at this fucking guy. I drove around him and, you know, had video of us passing him. 2 kilometres at least ahead of this guy was a pilot vehicle. So there was a pilot vehicle up ahead. But, you know, pilot vehicles are supposed to stop people and get them to pull over when a vehicle's coming that you can't actually safely get past. You're not supposed to be 2 kilometres ahead, but they can't, once they pass you, they can't see that vehicle. They don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And then they just think, oh, oversized vehicles drive down the road all the time and you can just drive past them. It's not that big a deal. They're just kind of wide. So if you didn't have someone pulling you over, man, this thing would be a fucking eyesore. And now people are, and this is where people started chiming in, all these bush cockies, fucking, where's the fucking field bin? This is the fucking way we time all the time, fucking normal thing to see, you fucking skirt, you fucking muppet, go back to the city, fucking blah, blah, fucking blah, blah, blah. Bunch of fucking cocks. And like my point, and they're like, oh, if you just fucking overtake them and get on with it, I'm sure you could see them fucking coming from behind. And I'm like, yeah, you could. And I'm sure you could see them on a fucking nice flat stretch of highway from up ahead as well. But for someone who's in a car towing a heavy caravan that doesn't have great, you know, response when it comes to braking and swerving and moving out of the way of things, if you came over the crest of a hill, because there's plenty of crests on those long flat highways, and particularly this one, you come over a crest and he's just right there or even not too far ahead of you, you've got bugger all chance of reacting to that, slowing down, pulling over, because you've got to put some wheels on the dirt to get past the guy. Right? So you're just winging it, just hoping that you don't come over the crest and there's a fucking road train or a caravan or something who's too close to fucking react and get out of your way in time. You're playing a game of chance with other people's fucking lives, right? But all these bush cockies coming on, that's the way we fucking do it, go back to the city. And I just thought, you're a bunch of fucking cocks, mate. You weren't there, you don't know the fucking circumstance, how much room he was taking up or what the road conditions were like. You just wanted to come on and fucking preach negativity at me. And this whole idea of, this is the way we always fucking do it, that means it's safe, get fucked. People do dumb shit all the time. That's why people die. That's why people crash. That's why this shit happens. Just because you do something all the time don't mean it's a good fucking idea, mate. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck me. You know the other thing? It's going to go on the get the fuck out of me, get the fuck out of here list this week. The thing, the point, the fact that you can't joke about transgenders, right? Look, I respect how you feel and how you want to live your life and who you believe you are. All right, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. I will treat you with respect. We can be cool, man. I'm not here to fucking, you know, to fight that fight. You're a fully grown human, fully grown person. You want to, you know, believe you're in the wrong body and you're in the wrong gender. That's fine, man. That's none of my business. I respect that. I respect you still, right? But you have to understand that when you identify and you say, I identify as a female, I identify as this, I identify, you sound like a wanker. You just do. You sound like a wanker, right? It's just a fact. Like, if you talk about ice baths all the time and meditation and you're fucking talking about fucking, you know, sunning your fucking, part, you know, private parts in the sun and you're talking about all these kinds of things people, like, you hear people in the fitness industry and stuff talk about, they sound like wankers. If you talk about that out in public all the time, you sound like a wanker. It may be useful. It may be fucking good advice. I may agree with it. But you sound like a wanker. And the same thing goes for the transgenders. Yeah, okay, you're a transgender, whatever, man. I don't really care. But when you try and tell us there's pronouns, we have to call you a certain thing, and you identify as this, and we have to fucking speak a certain way, you sound like a wanker. That's the fucking truth of it. You just do. Right, so I can't joke about getting transgenders. Get the fuck out of here. Of course we can. It's funny. Get over yourselves, for fuck's sake. Well, that's me for the week. I don't have a song to go out on. I promise I will next week. I'll get back on the ball with that one. But I think that was a pretty good week, man. How do you guys feel about it? I feel a lot better. You can expect more of this, more preparation from me, which makes for better podcasts in the long run. And yeah, man, I think we're gonna do good work moving ahead from here. I've had an epiphany. I've had some clarity of thought, and moving forward, we're gonna do good things together. So I appreciate your time. As always, check out my Substack. Check out the bit, which is Average Man Podcast on Substack. Check out the YouTube channel. Just dropped a new episode, Albany to Esperance. That's also on Average Man Podcast on YouTube. Check out the Facebook page, Instagram page. Like it, follow it, share it to your mates. Tell your mates to listen to this fucking podcast. Tell them stop being cockheads and fucking put it on. Start get their fucking head out of Joe Rogan's ass, even though he's the best podcaster in the world, I get it. But get their head out of his fucking ass, go listen to something different, put Davo's podcast on for a fucking change. And appreciate yous all, man. All you guys, all my fucking boys up there in Headland listening, fucking driving and working and all that sort of stuff. Fucking peace. Love you fucking boys, mate. Keep doing what you're doing. Everybody else listening and joining in to the journey along the way. Welcome. Happy to have you here. Appreciate you all, man. I'll speak to you guys next week. Davo, over and out. Peace.